Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Dwayne White. Dwayne is a D.C.-based stand-up comedian and a combat-wounded veteran who served in the Army for 23 years. Much of his humor is drawn from his unique take on his military experience, his life as a husband and father, and the general craziness of life. Welcome to the show, Dwayne. It's great to have you on today.
Hey, thanks, Dawn. It's good to be here.
Oh, this is... I'm so excited. I love vets. I do. It's just, to me...
I am a fan as well.
I hope so. I would say 23 years, you might have been a fan.
I just had a lot of debt, really. It just came down. I didn't want to stop the paycheck. and I'm not a quitter. That's one thing.
That's right. Keep it going. It's a really interesting thing to me, though. My number one question is this: how do you go from serving in the Army to doing stand-up comedy? How does this happen?
You know, those two things go really well together, actually. They're the same. Really, they're the same. That's all you do in the Army. We just make jokes is all we do. No, I honestly wanted to be a comedian my whole life. I'm going to get serious fast. That's not good. I want to be a comedian my whole life. And I joined the Army at 17. So I didn't ever have a chance to get into a club or anything because I was too young. Right. And then like I had to have a note from my mom to join the Army. That's not even a joke. But yeah, it's crazy. Like you, when you're 17, it's a whole nother thing, but like, so I couldn't get in the clubs to try it. And then I just, you know, 23 years later, I was still in, and I had retired. I was doing a job in DC and I walked into this coffee shop and saw a flyer that said, "Hey, you know, would you like to try stand-up comedy? There's this free class for veterans called, Armed Services Arts Partnership Comedy Bootcamp." And it's like, would you like to, you know, it's free for vets. And I was like, man, here's the thing. I've been talking to my kid. My oldest was getting ready to go to college. And we were having these big talks about follow your dreams. Don't chase money. Do what you want to do. And he knew I wanted to be a stand-up comic. And I was like, if I don't do this, I'm the biggest hypocrite on the planet. So I was like, I'm going to try and see. And it was at the DC Improv and it was awesome. And I fell in love with it. And ever since I've been,
doing
it every chance I can. So yeah, luckily I have 23 years of military material to draw from, which is good.
That's a good bit. That's a good bit of material to draw from. It's a lot. How was that class structured? I took a class through Stand Up Studios. So it was 3 weeks for us. I believe it was once a week for 3 weeks. And then we had 4 weeks. I'm sorry. And then the fifth time was a show open to the public.
Yeah. It's a six week course.
Okay.
It starts with the basics of how to write a joke and, you know, what makes up a joke, all these different things. And then it turns into basically 6 weeks of workshopping and playing with bits and figuring stuff out. And the cool part is, I mean, you just become very close with the people that you're there with, and everybody's either a veteran or a family member. So you have that kind of common ground, which is very cool. And then at the end, before the world shut down, we would do a grad show at the DC Improv, which was amazing. It's like the coolest place in the world to do, you know, to do a show. you know, especially when you're first starting out, it's like, this is your first real 5 minutes is standing on the big stage at the DC Improv, which is amazing. You know, you're in the green room hanging out. It's super cool. That's kind of a 6 weeks deal that they do. It's a pretty cool course. It's a lot of fun.
Now, are these boot camps for the vets available throughout the country, or is it just local to DC? What can you tell us about that? If we have a
actually, they just expanded. So it started in DC. It was in DC and Hampton Roads were the two places that it was. Both live and in person. And then when the pandemic happened, we started doing the classes online. And so they were all over the country. And now they physically expanded into Indianapolis and into San Diego. So they're growing for sure. And so I mean, you know, vets that are out, and it's totally free for vets. You know, there's grants and all these different things from this nonprofit, and it's really cool. It's and it's not just I say stand up classes. I'm sitting here giving a pitch for ASAP.
I think it's good.
I'm gonna call them. They're gonna pay me. No,
they can pay me too.
They do so many. The whole thing is like to get veterans into the arts, not necessarily stand up. That was the first one they did, and it's kind of their cornerstone class.
Right.
But they do, you know, everything from acting to drawing to storytelling, all kinds of different arts. And, you know, the idea is just to expose vets to the arts because, you know, as you may have guessed, the military is not the biggest place on creativity. So it's nice to get out and actually be able to do something creative. So it's pretty cool.
Not only that, I'm a complex trauma myself. I did not serve in the military, but I have a lot of traumas in my childhood through adulthood, unfortunately. But I do know that can be very healing for people that have suffered trauma to get into the arts and use a different part of their brain and have an escape in a healthy way by exercising, you know, their creativity in those different areas. So I think, and certainly if you've served in the military and you've done, you know, any combat time, that comes with trauma. So
sure.
This is a beautiful thing, I think, that they're doing, most especially. Where can, if you have a laugher that's a laugher slash vet, or they know a vet, and this sounds interesting to them, what would be the website they can go to?
Sure. It's ASAP. So ASAP twice, because they didn't get the website first. If you go to just ASAP.org, it's like some disease that I don't know about, but it's ASAP.org. And for those of you who were in the Army, you'll know that ASAP is usually alcohol and substance abuse program. So it's not that.
Okay.
So type that twice.org and you'll get to the ASAP website. It's awesome. Great group of people. Absolutely great group of folks.
Yes, laughers, we will put that in the show notes too, so you can have it there as well. I think it's so cool. You now not only were a student, you are now a teacher.
I am, yeah.
What is that experience like? What's most rewarding and most challenging about teaching stand-up comedy?
Oh, man. I think the most rewarding, and it's going to sound like a cheese ball. So I used to be a teacher when I was in the Army for a while. I taught in college, and it was I loved teaching. So and it's the same thing there. It's that moment where they kind of get you just see it in their eyes that they get it. You know, well, they'll come in week one and like, well, I think I'm funny. I'm going to try this. And then, you know, week two, they're kind of feeling out their own jokes. And then by week three, they're usually down on themselves. Like, I'm not funny. I'm not good at this. But then by the like four and five, they really usually start coming into their own. And you start seeing this confidence build. And they're like, hey, you know what? I'm funny. I'm going to get on stage. I'm going to share this stuff. And it's just cool to watch that progression. It's super cool. You know, and, you know, we got people that, I mean, never thought in a million years they'd be on stage telling jokes. And, you know, some of them come in and it's a one-time deal. It's a bucket list thing. And then, you know, maybe one or two of them are like, you know, I got to go do this. I got to keep doing it because they have such a good time with it. But, you know, it's just fun to watch that progression, to be honest. It's just neat to see.
That is really
challenging. You asked challenging. Yeah, sometimes, let's just say, you know, there are comics that there are people that do comedy that may not be as funny. and so, no, it's we try to keep it super positive, you know, because it's not, you know, this isn't like just a comedy class that we're out there doing for to make money or something like that. We're just doing this to, you know, really to help folks. So, you know, we're very positive. We try to give a bunch of positive feedback, but it's you know, sometimes you gotta kind of explain to folks like this isn't really that good of a concept. concept. Or, you know, sometimes people will bring stuff, especially in a military class, some folks will bring stuff up and you're like, you know, we want to help, we, you know, we don't want to put, you know, military stuff off limits by any means. It was like, you know, that's not maybe the best way to share that experience. but you know, it's trying to work it around to where it's like, okay, you're going to tell your story, but it's going to be funny and not, you know, dark, not
maybe
too dark to where it scares people.
Yeah.
They got to know that the comedian is okay when you're telling your story.
Be well on stage.
Exactly. So you can talk about anything as long as they go, okay, this person's okay. They're going to be fine.
Instead of out there going, should we call somebody?
Yeah. Does this person need help? But it's so much fun. Yeah. I love doing it. I think I'm getting ready to start. I think my sixth class, if I'm not mistaken, sixth or seventh class next week. And I can't wait. It's every time, it's just so much fun. You know, it's super exciting. So
what does it feel like when you see them perform at the DC Improv, like that at the end? You know, what's that experience like for you as a teacher to see the culmination of that whole experience for them come to fruition?
To see them after their first set and just especially when they crush it, you know, and it's, you know, and it's their first set. That room is so, you know, it's so forgiving and so friendly and positive because it's, you know, it's friends, it's relatives, it's fellow veterans. It's all, you know, it's a very, very friendly room. You know, they couldn't bomb if they tried in that room, but, you know, and they go up and they just, the look on their face when they come off stage, like, wow, I did this. It's so cool to see them. And, you know, they're always at this, you know, on this high after they get off stage. So it's just fun to hang out with them after that. You know, everybody remembers their first time they crushed on stage and you know, you get off and was like, I want to do that every day. Like, this is the greatest drug I've ever taken in my life. And to see them do that for the first time is just, it's just super cool. You know, and even like this last class, we didn't do the improv, but we did somewhere else, but even then, so I brought them in, I run an open mic in town and we brought them all in to practice even before their graduation show. And just to see them that night was just, it was super cool. So I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
It is a big, I like a dopamine rush, isn't it? So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. When you get that first laugh, you're like, oh, okay. But on the opposite side, you go up and it doesn't work. It's just the same on the opposite. And we've all been there.
That's right. That happened to me recently. And this punchline didn't land like I thought it was supposed to, or it has, or I thought it's supposed to. I just took a beat and I was like, this is a good time in the show for us to all practice laughing.
Right. And then, could you humor me at this point? I would appreciate it.
And they were really hilarious. Some giggled like that, and others just started, like a group of them were like, ha 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 ha.
And you just became my favorites over here. You, the loud laughers.
It was so great. You have to.
It's like, so I used to be, it was so a long time ago in a different life. I was an interpreter, and we used to, with somebody, for inevitably someone would tell a stupid joke that didn't translate. It was absolutely horrible. It was like, it was some word play or pun, and you're like, this doesn't translate, man. Like, I can't say this. And they'd be like, no, they'll get it. And it's like, okay. So then you just tell the other person, like, the American just said a joke that is not very funny, but if you would go ahead and laugh right now, that would be a great. We would certainly appreciate it. And they would laugh? All just laugh at it. Oh yeah, they'd laugh at it. They'd do nervous laughter, like, oh, okay. He's like, see, they did get the joke. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. They got it. They totally got the joke. They understand 100% now.
Oh, that's great. Oh, you're having fun doing this. And you do a lot, of course, in DC comedy because you're based there. You were recently actually a finalist for the last DC Comic Standing event.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't the last one, but you have been a finalist. Can you tell us more about the experience?
I mean, it was just, it was this contest. It was like, I think it was up here it was like 6 weeks long. And it's just go up and do your best 6 minutes, and then it was the, you know, the judges would pick a few people, and then it was up to the audience. And I just had a good night, had a good set the first week, everything was great, you know, did it kept moving up and ended up in the finals and had a blast. I didn't win. That's why it doesn't say winner on my website. It's a finalist. But the coolest part about that is just like everything else, man, you just like bump into all these great comics. And I was pretty new to it at the time. It was a few years ago. And just being up there is like, okay, I can do this. This is okay. And it's fun. DC has a cool scene. That's the coolest part about it. It's a very diverse scene. There's a ton of good comics up here. So, I mean, it's to be in that kind of crowd was just really, I just felt really humbled. And it was just a lot of fun hanging out with all those guys.
A bit of a stamp of approval if you're getting to.
Yeah, finals. For sure. It was like, okay, who is this kid? Well, they don't say kid. Who's this middle-aged white man? Who is this guy?
Not like there aren't a lot of middle-aged men doing comedy, but.
That's a fact. I'm trying to stand out.
You keep working on that.
You're just like, oh, it's another dude going through a midlife crisis. Cool. Good. I appreciate it. You can tell jokes or buy a motorcycle. One of the two.
I don't know which one's safer sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Very well. Very well. I've done both. And I think I'll go with comedy. But...
Comedy for $100
for now.
Yeah, I'd like for you to talk about the DC comic scene or comedy scene a little
bit.
You know, we're here in the Valley. We have in Harrisonburg, there's a monthly open mic, comedy open mic specifically, and then there's a couple in Stanton, and there's another one in Charlottesville. So we don't have that kind of weekly availability to us comics have up in DC. So can you give us just kind of an idea for people that live in the Valley, what that looks like if they want to travel up there and try some open mics, you know? What would you say? What would we need to know that you think would be helpful?
Man. The cool part is you can do an open mic pretty much. Now that things are opening back up, you can do an open mic pretty much any night of the week up here, at least one. It's not a New York where there's just 24/7 open mics going on, but it's still pretty good. And, you can get any kind of open mic from, a little dinky setup in the back of a restaurant somewhere to, a pretty well run setup, I think, Facebook or Instagram or whatever is probably the best way to find it. As weird as that sounds, it's just hitting people up. Hey, I'm coming to DC. I will say this too. It's a pretty supportive. I mean, everybody talks trash, I think, about their scene. Be like, oh, it's cliquish. It's this. And they're all cliquish to a point. But I think it's a pretty supportive scene too. You know, people jump on. I see it all the time on like Facebook. People are like, hey, I'm coming to DC for 2 or 3 days. Where can I get up? And people will just, other comics will just throw out a bunch of different names of good places and places that run solid mics and let people know where it's going. But yeah, it's really taken off again up here. DC was the last thing to open up. So Virginia, we're kind of in that weird space here where it's like DC, Virginia, Maryland, the DMV. So Virginia and Maryland started opening up a lot earlier, like a ton earlier. And things were kicking off. I actually live in Virginia, and we were kicking off over a year ago, well over a year ago. And then, Maryland too. And then DC was kind of like the last one to get back on board. And, but now they're taking off like gangbusters again. So there's tons of stuff to do. Awesome. Of stuff.
That's a good word too, to just put it out on Facebook or Instagram. Like, hey, I'm coming up.
And honestly, that goes for anywhere in the country now,
right? To
be honest, which is cool. Cause you can be like, hey, I'm going to, I was in Nebraska a couple months ago. I was like, hey, I'm coming through Nebraska for my day job. Can you guys, anybody know of anything? It's like all of a sudden I was on a mic and then on a paid show. I was like, okay, this is great. this is how it should work, is people taking care of each other. So it's really cool like that when that stuff works out.
Yeah, I like the upside poster moving through toward post-pandemic era. Yeah. Is the benefit we have all received from utilizing the internet in a new way to make connections that we
didn't really
think about before, Yeah, it has been great. Yeah. Yeah, you are unique. Not all of our comics work clean. We work with comics that work blue, too, and that'd be you. So,
say I'm blue. I don't know if I'd say blue. I'm kind of a maybe, I don't know, you know, like a, I'm trying to think of a different, like a purple, maybe. Maybe a purple, like an off blue. I don't know.
Like an off
blue. Light blue, like a light blue.
Okay, like a light blue. Yeah.
Well, actually, that's not a good phrase because in Russian that means, never mind. I won't get into it. But it means.
Now I'm curious, but maybe.
No, the word light blue in Russian is like a slang term for gay. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's just the way they, that's why they, I don't know why. I don't know why that word turned out that way, but that's what it means. So,
okay. All right. But you work both blue,
I do,
and clean.
I do.
Do you find it challenging to write and perform clean comedy?
Perform? I don't think so. Cause once I've made it that way, I mean, it's kind of a, like some of the jokes, some of my jokes are just clean, you know, that are perfect for just clean sets. And they're good like that. Some of the jokes I have go in, I can do them either way. Mm-hmm. So I can add a few choice phrases here, or I can take a few choice phrases out or even reword them, you know? I think when I originally get a joke on paper, it may come out with a few curse words in it when I first think of it, because that's just in, I mean, after 23 years in the army, that's how my mind works. Right. I don't want it to. I'm sorry. I've been through a lot of therapy trying to figure it out. I'm sorry. I get it and I go, okay, I've said it like that in my head. Now, how can I say it where it's a little cleaner, where it's, you know, and that's one good thing about going through the ASAP thing is we make people do stuff at PG-13 level, right? Okay, so now, yeah. Granted, I know that's different for everybody,
right?
You know, but we'll let people curse, but none of the big ones, you know, like
you can
drop a couple small curse words here and there if it makes the joke better. But, you know, for me, I always tell people, like, I grew up, my father was an alcoholic. My grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher. So I grew, the only two places I feel comfortable in are a bar and church. So I guess I got really good at just turning that on and off as a kid. Like, I can use these words here, but I can't use these words here. So I don't know.
Adapting. I call that
adapting. That's adapting, yeah. Being a chameleon, faking, yeah. whatever word you want to use. No, I mean, I honestly, a lot of people don't. I enjoy doing a show at a church as much as I enjoy, or more sometimes, really, because it's such an easy, like, you know, the people, they, you know, they have their own sense of humor and they have their own idiosyncrasies to poke fun at. And I'm one of those rare people, I guess, that enjoy doing a show there just as much as I do, you know, in like a darker comedy club kind of thing. So it's, you know, you can always find the humor in any situation. So
I agree with that. Comedians, really good comedians, are great at that. They can find the funny in pretty much anything. Yeah.
There's plenty of it out there. There is plenty.
I got ample going on right now out there. But anyway, you performed all over the country. What has live, and what has been your favorite city or venue so far where you performed live? Yeah.
I can't say the DC Improv because that's where I'm at, but it is that's my favorite venue. It's just so cool. Yeah. Oh, it's such a good venue. It's great. It is. And you sit in this little tiny green room that smells like 50 years of drugs and you sit in this thing. It is. It just, that's what it's
what has
like.
Happened in here.
I think I have an idea. And so it's the greatest. I think it's super cool. The tradition and the amount of cool people have gone through there. I think the worst place I've ever done, we can talk about that for a second. I think the worst place, also a local place, and I think you had P.T. Bratton on your show not long ago. When I first started out, P.T. booked me at the St. Charles Town Center Mall food court. That was fun. Yeah, telling jokes, like, you know, arguing with two people. One was in line at Chick-fil-A. One was in line at, like, Popeyes. And that was before the chicken war of 2019 or whatever
it was. Oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah, it was pre-war. Okay. But, yeah, that was probably my favorite.
I cannot imagine that. People just passing by all the time.
So, just you're just ambushing them with bad jokes. Just walking by like, hey, what's up? Let me tell you about some things. It was actually fun. It was such a good growth experience, though. It was great. The bad ones are where you grow, you know, where you really learn, like, okay, this is hard. So I'm paying dues, right?
Were there people, like, did people gather? Were there?
Yeah, seats? It was cool. PT Smart, he had loud music playing before the show kicked off. So people were like, hey, there's something going on here. And I don't know if they thought like it was a bad, like a Tiffany concert going on or something was about to start. But yeah, there were some people there were quite a few that stopped in and just hung out. And then, you know, there were people that were passing by, which, you know, I think I've been doing comedy like 3 months at the time. And so I was trying to like do crowd work at them, and they're like, yeah, we're not having this. We're not. I just want to get to Claire's Boutiques. That's all I'm doing.
Maybe looking for some earrings today.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to Sparrow. Get off me, man. I'm just done with it. So no, it was.
Spencer's. Fun. Get my glow. That's crazy. Well, then you shifted. You made a shift during the shutdown and pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You performed in a lot of Zoom shows during that time.
A lot.
Yeah. A lot.
A lot, lot.
A lot, lot. What did you like and not like about doing Zoom shows?
Okay, so when it first started, I was one of these dudes like, I'm not doing Zoom. This is crazy. I can't do this. This isn't how it's meant to be. And honestly, I go back to ASAP, the Armed Services Arts Partnership that I was talking about earlier. They doubled down during the pandemic. They're like, everybody else is shutting down. We're going to do a show every Friday. And they kind of forced us into it. Like those of us who were kind of in the community, they're like, we need you guys like every other Friday. I need you to come on to a show. We're like, oof.
Wow.
Okay. And it was terrible at first. It was so bad because like they had the audience in a separate room. And then they just broadcast it. So the only people you had in the room to get any feedback from were the comedians. And as we all know, comedians love to laugh at one another. They're not worried about their own set and thinking of other things the whole time at all. So that was painful. But eventually, you know, we worked it out. And just I will say that I ended up really kind of liking Zoom shows for a few reasons. One, I could do 3-4 things a night and never leave my basement. It was so nice. Like I could do, and it just evolved like, okay, now I got, you know, I end up with the green screen and the backgrounds and doing all stuff. And you could kind of do a little bit different comedy. And the best part I thought was honestly the networking. I get to do so many cool. I mean, I'm doing a show Saturday morning from the hotel. I'm doing a show in Saigon this Saturday.
What?
For goodness sake. I'm still, I did stuff in Israel. I've done stuff in Germany and Prague. It's like, it's just, you can do stuff all over the country, all over the world from, you know, a basement or a hotel room somewhere. And it's awesome. It's just so much fun. That's the cool part about online comedy. And the networking was great. I mean, you know, doing stuff with people like I got to do stuff with Dat Fan from, you know, Last Comic Stand, you know, in California. And it's like, dude, this dude was my hero for a while. And I'm like, I'm doing a show with him. You couldn't do that like from DC to LA, you know, in real life. So it's just cool. It opened up a lot of doors that, you know, and it's led to stuff now. I mean, you get into these groups and get in these friends and now, you know, like I said, when you go to Nebraska, you just drop something in a Facebook. Like, hey, I'm coming to town. Anybody got anything? And next thing you know, you're on a stage in a totally different town. So I actually kind of embraced it. I was kind of forced to embrace it a little bit, but
yeah,
I'm glad it worked out, you know, in reality. And I think it made me a better comic for sure. I think it was hard to go back a little bit when things started opening up in real life. I noticed my timing was a lot different because on Zoom, it was like, bang, 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 let's go, go, go. You know, not a lot of waiting and pauses and playing with the silence like you get to do in a real show. But it was still a lot of fun. It was, just different. It wasn't the same, but it was different. But it was still fun.
Yeah, it sounds like you made some adjustments in the timing. I noticed that too when I did the Zoom shows. I noticed that myself. I also noticed that comedians had a different way of presenting themselves in Zoom shows. Some would sit in their chair, kind of like we're doing on Zoom right now.
Yeah.
Even though the laughers can't see us. Others have had a stage set up and they're standing up and performing in the Zoom shows. Which way did you roll?
I started standing up and I was like, this is terrible. Oh, yeah. And I switched and went to sitting. And then I kind of evolved back into the standing up. Now, I never stood up like far away from the camera, mm-hmm. Where you could see my whole body and stuff, because if I learned anything from Zoom, it was all face. You know, I'd get into the camera like right here, I started standing up. I have a stand up desk here at home. And so I would put my computer up here. I would stand, and it just gave me a little bit more energy, to be able to play with. So it's funny, because in the beginning I was against, doing backgrounds. I was against doing, and then it was like, okay, no, I'm going to do the, and I ended up kind of building out the studio down here. Well, I shouldn't say I built it. My wife built it. I can't do that stuff. She does it. She's amazing. Whatever. But, built up kind of like a studio down here where I could do everything. Yeah. So it was, that's the short answer, is I evolved. Like, I kind of changed things up as it went.
So. Over time. And shout out to Mrs. White on the evolving on the studio.
She's ridiculous with that. She does. She's so much better. Okay. I'm going to say this. She built, so I'm in my basement, and I used to, this thing was all curtains and stuff, and it was great. I was happy with it. I don't like a finished basement. I was down with that. I was good with it. And then I went to Nebraska actually, and I came back and she had built walls around here. What? And then I went on another road trip and she's like framed out our entire basement and has put up drywall and and I'm like, this is not, and it's all to code. I'm like, woman.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's cool. But see, this is the thing, because 6 years ago I told her, I was like, I'll finish the basement one day, which was a total lie. It wasn't true. I never planned on doing it. And she knew. So now she's just finishing it a little bit at a time on her own, which is like, so I'm basically this frog in the, when you turn the heat up just a little bit at a time. That's what's happening. It's just, this thing is being built around me. I don't know how I feel about it.
I like how she's going about it too, taking the matters in her own,
hands.
She waits till you leave town. It's one of my favorite parts about what she's doing.
I'm not saying that she's doing that, she's sneaky because she's a German, but I am saying, here's the deal. inching further towards having
getting what she wants. I like this woman. I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, she definitely does.
Now, you also produce comedy shows. Do the shows you produce, are they live, online, a combination of, and do you do them with other veterans?
So I haven't ever produced an online show. I don't even think I have that level of Zoom account to do that. It'd be 40. It'd be less than 40 minutes. I promise you that. Well, I know. Hurry up, wrap it up. Let's go. Start just lighting people. Like, you need to get off stage. It's gonna kick everybody out. I do live shows. And I've done kind of both. I started off, it was crazy. When I really started doing comedy, I ended up in a 4th of July parade with this old Purple Heart, with this guy's from the Purple Heart organization that I'm in, and this old like Vietnam vet, and he just goes, yeah, I book all the people at the VFW, all the bands. And I'm like, have you ever done comedy? He's no, we've always wanted to, but we never have. And man, we just ran with it. And next thing you know, I was like, what if I bring in all veterans? Can we do a show? He's like, yeah, let's go. And that was the first time I produced, and it almost killed me. So props to you for producing shows. Then I started doing a mic at this one venue kind of in the middle of pandemic, about December of, pandemic times, and started it when things first started opening up, and that venue died. And now I found this other one down here, and we've been doing that for a while. And now we're running shows there. We were doing them We do the mic every week. We do a kind of I call it a gimmick mic every other Wednesday. It's either a riff mic where we just make things up as we go. We draw topics out of a hat and comics just have to kind of go with it for 5 minutes, or we'll do like a mic where they have extra time or whatever. Every other week. And then now we started doing monthly showcases, and now we're doing twice a month. So a lot of work. But actually, I will say this. My wife is like, she's the best when it comes to producing stuff. I got to brag on her again. She's like, she's good at that stuff. So I just kind of wrangle the comics and then.
Okay. And she
set everything up online and let her. I'm just like, I have to write jokes now. I have to figure out what I'm going to say. So, and I hope, and then I host. Nine times out of 10, I'll host those shows. So
is the mic that you're pulling stuff out of the hat, is that the Wingate Comedy Game Show?
No. Okay. That's just, a friend of mine had an online version of that riff show, where that, kind of a thing, and she was doing it. And I was like, this is a great idea. I'd love to do this in person with comics. And it's fun to watch. Honestly, it's fun to watch these folks get up and just kind of squirm a little bit, to be honest. Cause it's like, it's fun to just like, okay, talk on this thing for a while. They're like, I have no idea what that is. The Wingate Game Show, a friend of mine, also a veteran army guy, James Mack up in New Jersey. He started it during the pandemic. Not a clean show, laughers. So heads up, but check it out on Pandora or iHeart or any of those things. It's really cool. It's kind of like, if you like Whose Line Is It Anyway, like Scenes from a Hat type thing.
Okay.
It's kind of like that, where it'll be like World's Worst, this, or things that you don't want to hear on a whatever. And it started online, and most of the shows are online. You can check them on like I said, Pandora, iHeart, all that. But then we've done it a few times, like actually up in a club in New York, where, just have one guy who's just asking, whatever we come up with, we come up with. And it's a lot of fun. It's great. That's what Winging It is. It's we've been doing it for a while now. I think it's season 3. I think we're in. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was. It was in your bio on your website. And so when you were saying pulling out your hat, I was like, oh, maybe that's it. So
yeah, no. It's sort of, but the one we do, we just like, you just get a topic and you can go wherever you want to go for a couple minutes. And then if it's really getting bad, I'll pull out another topic and get to it. So it's not so painful for everybody. The first one we did, we made him go 5 minutes, and it was the most painful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. You're sparing everyone.
I was, including myself, mostly. I'm very self-protective.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It can get weird.
2 hours of sitting listening to people try to make stuff up about a hydroponic farm is not okay.
I don't even know what that is, but
it's a hype. I don't either, to be honest with you.
Okay, good. We'll see what come up with there. But do you have a preference in performing comedy or producing shows? And if so, why the preference?
Oh, comedy for sure.
Yeah.
No, I mean, some people are like made to produce. They're just born for it. I mean, for me, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I like producing. I like doing shows, and I take it very seriously. Even the mic I run, I try to run it like a show, with good lighting and good sound and everything. But my, my passion is being on stage telling jokes, and the producing is kind of a pathway just to do that more in reality. If I could do it, I would hand every bit of producing off my wife and just write and tell jokes. And then we done with it. We haven't gotten there yet, but no, I do. Maybe people do. I never, as a kid, sitting there watching Robin Williams or Richard Pryor, was going, man, I can't wait to produce that show. I want to tell jokes. That's what I want to do. But
I love that. What do you love most about telling jokes? What do you love most about performing?
I think it's just that connection again. It kind of goes back to that whole thing about, talking about students just getting it. It's the same thing with the audience when you've taken them down a path, and then you feel them going with you, and like this Pied Piper, if everything's going right and they're just following you down this path. And I mean, and not necessarily, I mean, we always in comedy, we always take them down a path and then we switch the path real quick on them, you know, to misdirect. But exactly. Like, and you thought I was going this way, but I'm not. Yeah. But no, I love that connection, man, with people. It's just, I think it's one of the only things, you know, I mean, I did theater in school and stuff, but even that's not the same because it's not you that you're presenting. You're still giving yourself. I'm not taking anything away from theater people by any means, but like, it's not your story at that point. You're playing a character, and we're all playing a character even in comedy too, but it's still like, you know, you're talking about yourself, talking about your story, and you're trying to say like, hey, these are the things that happened to me, but it's okay because look how funny it is. And that, just that connection you get with the audience that you just don't get, I don't think, in anything else, at least nothing else that I've done. So
yeah, I agree with that. It's a lot of why I like it too. I want to ask you this. What do you know now about the craft and or business of comedy that you wish you would have known when you started?
Ah, man, I don't know if I didn't know it when I first started, but I think, just how important like just networking and things like that are, which is good, you know, because I mean, you know, when you leave the military, they train you. There's like, just network. That's how you're going to get a job. And it's kind of the same deal with getting gigs, is just like someone knows you, someone sees you and goes, hey, you think, you know, when you first get out, you're just like, if I'm funny, I'll just go tell jokes and somebody's going to see me and I'm going to make it because I'm that good. And it's, I think it's, you know, it's the idea of just being a good person and networking, and people go, oh, this is a good guy. And I think they'll give you the gigs because like, okay, not only is this dude funny, but he's also a good person. And I know he's reliable and trustworthy and all these things. So, you know, and I think everybody goes into it just thinking, I'm just going to write great jokes and everybody's just going to notice me immediately. And it's all going to work out. This is going to happen. I'm going to walk off the stage at the improv after my first 5 minute set, and there's going to be a limo waiting for me.
And I'm going to open for Jim Gaffigan.
Exactly.
That'll be the rest of my story.
Let's not mention, I was supposed to be doing a show with Jim Gaffigan in New York for Armed Services Arts Partnership in May of 2020. It's a little sore. It's a little hurtful subject.
That's soft.
I don't know if Jim Gaffigan knew about it yet, but I knew about it and it hurt. No. I was so mad. Me. I was so upset.
Yeah.
It hurt. And they're like, no, we'll do it in July. I was like, I bet we don't.
Maybe this July.
Yeah. Oh, God. Maybe one day.
Oh my gosh. Well, poo on that. Well,
now, I wonder, can I ask you a question?
Oh, sure.
What is the thing that you learned that you wish you would have known in the beginning of comedy? Can we turn this interview around?
You sure flipped that script around.
I just like to learn. I like to hear everybody's experience, especially someone who produces shows. I love to hear.
What I wish I would have known.
She's like, don't let comedians turn questions around.
Note to self, when we do the notes and rehearsal before we press record.
I'm sorry. You can edit this out and post.
No, I think it's a great question. What would I wish I would have?
What's your question?
Yeah. Of course. I have to think about it, Dwayne.
I'm sorry. You gave me a chance to think. I didn't. I'm so sorry.
I wish I would have known that it's okay to give myself permission to fail at trying something new in the craft.
Oh yeah, that's a good. That's true.
You know, I took a, and I'm still working on it. It's crowd work. You know, I was just not moving forward in it. So, you know, sitting there thinking like, well, I have to understand what it looks like and, you know, watch Winston do it because he's a master at it. Winston Hodges, by the way, he's a master at it. And maybe I need to watch people like that a lot more before I give it a try. And the thing is, you really just need to do it.
You gotta do it.
Yeah. And if you're really worried about it, you know, I won't try something that I'm insecure about that way, that much on a paid show. But that's exactly what you're supposed to do at open mics. So I wish I would have known, instead of judging myself and inhibiting myself, I would just take what I was felt most insecure about and go to a bunch of open mics and work it out.
Yeah.
Where you're supposed to do it. That's what I wish I would have known. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to, you don't want to fail because you're like, but that's exactly what you have to do. And that's, I think nobody understands that about this business. Everybody's, because if you're seeing a good comic, they're polished and it looks like they're just making it all up at the off the top of their head. It's like, no, this is, they've worked this for years. Sometime this bit has been going for a long time.
And I think for audiences to know, if you do go to open mics, is, you know, that's what it's intended for, is for comics to work out new material. So if you go to an open mic, you're like, what's wrong with this person? They're not.
Yeah. I warn every crowd at the beginning, like, by applause, who's never been to a comedy open mic. Okay, here's the deal. All the stuff you see on Netflix is a lie. It's not true. They've worked on that for a long time.
So. Yeah, exactly. And they make it look easy. So there's a difference between an open mic and a paid show. And you can use those to help yourself.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to use them.
And be strategic about it. Yeah.
In terms of your exactly.
Well, thanks for flipping the script. You're the first one that's flipped the script.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. I think it was fun. I hope you liked it. Like, Don, come on, land the plane. Let's find an answer.
Just always like to ask questions of the person asking me questions. It's more fun.
That's really great. Well, as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow you on social media or otherwise?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm at DwayneWhiteComedy.com is where you can find everything. That's where my schedule's at and all that. Or ddub.comedy on Facebook and Instagram. So ddub.comedy on Facebook and Instagram. I'm also on TikTok at the same thing, but I only have like 4 videos and I'm not that good. I'm too old for that.
I know. I think I am too. I haven't even started.
I have one. I put a video up today.
I don't know.
if people are looking at, there's this thing out there where it's like, I think it's Megan Thee Stallion and it's like this knees challenge where you're trying to like, all these girls are like on their knee, like on their feet. And then they're like crouching on their knees to show it. Like that's probably, and I did it as a veteran, where we do it. And I just basically fall over is I'm going to give away the punchline. And then my knees hurt a lot. That's all that means. I carried heavy things for a long time. My knees are in bad shape. So it's okay.
It is okay. Oh, I will tell you, laughers, too. By the way, his name is spelled Dwayne. It's Dewayne. Just if you're looking at DwayneWhiteComedy.com. So thank you, Dwayne. This has been so fun and super great. I loved having you on today.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. This is good. I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Yes, me too. Laughers, you have 2 chances to catch Dwayne perform here in the Valley. First, on October the 8th at One Tribe Farm's highly popular outdoor summer fun series, where we'll have fresh off the farm food prepared by Chef Jordan, live music, and an X2 comedy show. Laughers, note, this is the last one for 2021. So bring your tribe to One Tribe Farm. It's located in Mount Sydney, just 20 minutes south of Harrisonburg. Then on Saturday, October 9th, Dwayne will be at our Com Keys event at Friendly City Dance Room. It's part X2 comedy show, part dance lesson. Philip Pusara from the Dance Room will teach you Kazumba, a form of dance originated from Africa, and the comedians from X2 Comedy will have you laughing. Buy your tickets for these events today. We'll be sure to put that info in the show notes as well, and we will see you there. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.